This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And I'm joined by Demetra George and Alex Garrett. Thanks for joining me, you guys.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, thanks, Tony.
So we're here to talk about your recent tour to Greece, and I wanted to jump on a call with you right after you got back so you could share some of that wonderful energy with all of our listeners and tell us a little bit about the trip. The tour was called The Greek Mysteries, Eleusinian, Dionysian, Orphic, Samothracian. I should have practiced saying that before. So those were some of the mysteries that you were addressing in the tour, right? Right, Demetra?
Yes, that's correct. And these are the Greek mysteries of the Greek mystery religions that were performed parallel with regular public religion. So there were two ways of worshiping, at least in the ancient world, and the Greek mysteries formed its own class of ceremonies and initiations.
Beautiful. And you took folks there to visit sacred sites, is that right?
Yes, we went to the various places where the mystery rites had been held in antiquity, and many of the rites had been performed for close to 1,000 years in the same place, so that they held the energy of thousands and thousands of spiritual seekers trying to connect with a direct presence of the divine energies.
Wow, that sounds pretty deep. So I can't wait to hear more about it. I know we're going to talk later about some of the experiences some of the folks on the tour had, but maybe we could start by talking about how long you've been leading tours in Greece, Demetra.
Well, I started in 1992, and my first trip to Greece was in 1989 with a friend of a friend who's leading the tour. And at a certain point, someone else who was also a participant and I looked at each other and we said, hey, we could do this too. And we did. And so that's how it started. And now I've probably done somewhere close to 20 trips to Greece in the intervening years.
Wow, that's a lot. And I know you've taken folks to some other locations as well, right?
Yes. When I was working with Dennis Harness with Ancient Oracle Tours, we went to Egypt to see the pyramids right before the revolution. We went to Southeast India with Camilla Sutton, also to all of the 9 Navagraha or planetary temple sites that are still living temples, and also to places in Turkey. And before this, I had done a trip to Southern Italy.
Awesome. And I know you're working in astrology here as well, but maybe we can talk about the, you know, I know this isn't like your regular vacation tour to Greece. So can you tell folks a little bit more about what you're doing with folks? The pilgrimage.
Right. So the way that I integrate the astrology and the travel to sacred sites is that our modern word therapy comes from the ancient Greek word therapia, which means attendance upon the gods. And when a person was ill or distraught and the illness couldn't be cured by ordinary means, then it was thought that it was due to the displeasure or anger of a god whom they had offended in some way. So they would go to the oracle to find out which god is upset with them and what do they have to do. And the prescription was often to travel to the sacred site of that deity to make offerings and perhaps become initiated into their rites. And through that attendance upon the gods, they could effect a healing. And modern archetypal therapy uses those basic principles in its approach to healing. What parts of you have you disowned or neglected, and how do you bring that to consciousness and honor it? And it's as if the gods have now become internalized, but in the past, it was the same energy externalized. So then with the astrology, there are hundreds and hundreds of asteroids that carry the names of deities from all of the traditions of places, geographical locations. And so when I plan a trip around a certain theme, I find the asteroids that are linked to the deities we're going to connect with, the places we're going to put those in people's charts, and to see which ones are significant and being conjunct the ascendant or with the sun and moon or on the midheaven. And then when individuals go to those places, from an astrological perspective, they understand they have a very personal connection with that site, with that deity, and it enhances the personal meditation and healing work they might do. But the archetypes also come alive, and that's part of the magic of the trip. And Alex, maybe you'd like to tell a couple of stories of how we witnessed that.
Yes, there were quite a few. I would like to say on the asteroid specifically, before we had generated the asteroid list, Demetra had asked me to give a lecture on Mount Olympus on the 12 Olympian gods. And then when we printed up my asteroid list that we used, it turned out that Olympus was exactly conjunct my IC, and Zeus is exactly conjunct the midheaven. So there it was. And that wasn't a story that I shared alone. Many of the attendees on the tour had very pivotal responses to the asteroid placements that we found in their charts for this particular topic. Archetypally, though, as an introduction, you know, we were working with the mysteries, specifically in the beginning with the Eleusinian mysteries with Demeter and Persephone, and in those, in practice and in myth, Persephone is lost and needs to be refound. And the very first day of our tour, we were all up on the Acropolis together viewing the Parthenon as a group, and there were just over 20 of us. And one of the attendees got separated from the group, and she did not have an international phone plan. We could not locate her. She was lost for a few hours, and there we were in real-time practice seeing this play out before our very eyes. She was later found. We did find her. She was fine. She wasn't concerned that she was lost, which was also kind of funny.
Right, but we were all. And she had the asteroid Ceres exactly on her ascendant. So that constellates the search for the missing daughter, and she made that fully manifest in the course of at the very beginning of our journey, the night before we went to Eleusis Ceres site.
Wow, what a way to start the trip. Well, I'm glad she was found. And so Alex, can you tell folks a little bit more about what you were teaching on Mount Olympus?
Yeah, it was an introduction to the 12 Olympian gods that were said to reside in that space. And so we went through each of the gods and what they stood for and what associations they had, just to get a better foundation and firmer grasp on what they were representing archetypally. But it's so interesting because all throughout the tour, we didn't necessarily have planned specific... what's the word? We would, for example, have spontaneous altars and spontaneous experience that we held together in a group space. So we weren't trying to force anything. And on Mount Olympus, we found this beautiful meadow to sit in after a lot of searching, and all sat in a circle and, you know, read the Orphic hymns that were pertinent to the subject matter that was being shared. Mm-hmm. And it was this really beautiful group interaction and intellectual sharing, and also, you know, an emotional and spiritual space that's open in that way as well. And that happened all throughout the tour, but certainly Olympus was, for me especially, very integral and important.
Yeah. I just might add, we had the Orphic hymns rolled up in scrolls and tied, and so people pick from a basket as a kind of oracle. And the man who was our guide escort that was hired by the company, Theo, he picked one, and of course he chose the hymn to Hermes. So that was like totally beautiful, as he was our guide and escort, and that he totally manifested that moment.
Wow, that's really cool. Alex, I know this was your first trip to Greece. How did it feel standing on Mount Olympus? for the first time?
So this was my first trip to Greece, and I don't know how to replicate this in my life. I just know that even though I'm still jet lagged, I just want to go back. You know, when we're talking about the difference between a vacation tour or a pilgrimage, this is, in my opinion, the only way to travel to these ancient places is to be interacting with them on a deeper level than just a hop on, hop off bus tour. You know, there's so much that was brought alive, so much magic. The quality of depth of interaction and experience is not something you can get just by wandering around. Demetra held the space open for us as kind of the gatekeeper, and brought all of the sites that we visited to life. And so many in the tour had these really embodied emotional reactions to just being on the ground of these sacred ancient sites because Demetra held that gate open for all of us.
Wow. I want to go next week. How do we do that? Right.
You know, they said, you know, in the scholarly books about the mysteries, they started off saying that often a vow of secrecy was taken, but that also one of the words that were used over again in what scant descriptions we have of them was unspeakable. And scholars say, oh, you weren't allowed to speak about them. But really what we discovered is that it was an experience that we all recognized in the moment, vividly, potently, vibrantly, but could not really be expressed in words. And so sometimes afterwards, you know, we would joke, well, your friend says, well, what did you do? Oh, we took a hike. We went to a waterfall. And that was true on an ordinary level, but on that subtle level, it was full of the potency of spiritual energies just like rippling through us. And it sounds strange to talk about. It can't be expressed, but it was something that as a group was experienced. And that was one of the features of the mystery religions, was that they were a collective spiritual experience, not an individual one.
Hmm. That reminds me of one of our tour attendees, Nadia, had reminded us that the word mystery is related to closing of the lips and the eyes. That was certainly felt in our collective experience.
Yeah. So closing our eyes to the ordinary world and then opening them up to some other world we entered in and out of.
And Alex, you were talking about holding space for spontaneous ritual experience to happen. And I think maybe part of that is, or what I know about Greece is that it's complicated to go to these sites sometimes and do something that looks like a ritual to the authorities. Demetra, can you tell folks a little bit about that?
Well, that is true. And when you go to the Parthenon or to Delphi, absolutely, there's no holding hands, there's no singing, there's no altar making or offerings that are really allowed. But I always put in stops on our itinerary to the obscure, less frequented sites. And at those, the energy is still so strong because it hasn't been trampled over by layers of stomping feet of tourists. And there we have open spaces and we are allowed to do that. And many people on the trip, like, were sensitive to where's the power spot in this place. And we'd walk around and we'd go, oh yeah, I feel it here. And people go, yeah. And then if we could at those places, we would gather. And we had a very powerful ritual on the island of Samothrake because A, it's really difficult to get to. And in my past experience, hardly anyone goes to the site. So we had it all to ourselves for the better part of the day. And then that allowed that to happen in a very in the moment way.
Wow.
It was really beautiful. We were at the exact place on the site where the statue of Nike was found in all of her winged glory. Yeah. And there was a guard that came by and was watching us in our circle and saw our altar and looked a little bit put off. But it turned out he just didn't want us to pour wine on the ground.
On the ground.
So once we agreed to that, he moved on.
So it can happen, but you have to you know the spots that there aren't many people at, or the more popular spots if there's an obscure, out of the way place, to know where it is and to gather there.
To give folks just a little bit more of a window onto this year's trip that you just did, can you tell folks a little bit more about what you did on the island there, or what the intention was for that part of the trip?
On Samothraki.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it was one of our final stops, our next to last stop, and the group had bonded there quite well. And we had just, the ritual we should really talk about is what happened at the Anastinaria, which was the culminating part of the ritual.
Great.
And this was a living ritual, and we were able to witness, get as close to witnessing a mystery rite with lineage as one possibly could in this time and age in Greece. So do you want to start that off, Alex?
So the just kind of taking people back to the ritual space itself, we had to travel to just shy of the border with Bulgaria in this very remote village, which is, you know, most of Greece is predominantly Greek Orthodox anyway, but this particular ritual, the Anastinario, is practiced by Orthodox Christians in honor of St. Constantine and Helen. And so we go to this village in the middle of nowhere, and they have a little chapel where the initiates, I suppose we wouldn't call them.
They are initiates. They have to be to do it.
Okay. So they're all in this chapel, and there were all of these signs up that said we couldn't take any picture of them while they were in preparation. And for days and that particular day, hours in advance, they had been dancing to drums. And the beat of the drums and watching the people as they kind of shuffle danced around holding their icons was the most powerful, probably for me, witnessing, maybe even more so than them walking across the coals, which they eventually did. And so they gathered there in preparation, and you were able to watch as a bystander or go get a really good seat outside where they had created the fire and then the coals. The initiates came out in a procession, which was incredible because the one leading the procession was holding torches. And the torches are something that you'll see often in, you know, any art depiction of the ancient mysteries. And then they came out into this field that had this giant bed of hot coals, and they began their ritual dance over the fire. And most of us had thought that they would just kind of go over the coals once. But they went over back and forth and back and forth. How long?
It was 25 minutes because we had a place on the fence, like a really good watching spot. And the purpose of the ritual was to bring healing to the members of the community who were distressed with various depressions, emotional situations, ailments. And it was almost as if they were drawing on the power of St. Constantine to fight with the negativity through the vehicle of the fire to expunge it. And then after 25 minutes of dancing on the coals, then they went back into the chapel and continued dancing for more time. So that it happened at night, it was initiates, it was a collective experience, there was a ecstatic trance space, they were communing with the power of the deity, that they were facilitating purification and healing, were all of the elements of the ancient mysteries. But here it was still living in this like obscure village on the Bulgarian border.
Wow, that's really cool. Had you been to that spot before, Dimitra?
I had never been to it. I had known about it for quite a while and I always wanted to, but it's really an effort to get to the northern part of Greece and to some of the places we went to. And our tour agent said, no one ever goes to the places you're going to.
Wow.
But yeah, our participants said before, like they were looking on the map to see where we were going. They couldn't even find them on the map. And so that was part of the, you know, outer level of the mystery tour.
What a special experience you created for people on this trip. That's amazing.
Well, I'd like to also point out that that day that we went to the Anastinario in the evening, we had previously in the day visited this gorgeous river cave that was 2 million years old and gone through and seen this water that was absolutely pristine. And there was also at the end of the cave this huge egg-like shape opening that just opened into the bright light of nature. And it was in itself an incredible experience. And then we had lunch, you know, in this beautiful green space along a river. And other things happened that day too. And any one of these things would be pivotal and beautiful and amazing and majestic. We did so many of them in the course of one day that it's impossible to remember.
Wow.
Right. You know, part of the initiation is honoring the god. We'd gone to a temple of Dionysus, the god of ecstatic dance, that had been excavated just not maybe a dozen or so years ago. And so they made connection with the god. And then our agent said, oh, I'm sending you to this river cave because it's a very interesting spot. But then it was the pristine river, and we experienced the purification part of the ritual. Then we went down, 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 down into the cave, and we made the descent. And then this, we saw the opening and the light above. It's like the epiphany that happens after the underworld journey. And then that set us up for then going to the Anastinaria several hours later. That we're already had already constellated the various initiatory stages without any of that having been planned or contrived, but the circumstances just like led us through these experiences that in retrospect we saw again the archetype coming alive.
Do you always tend to have moments like that on your tours, Demetra?
I do, and this I would say was more so than most.
Okay. Cool.
Because of the nature of the theme.
Right, right.
So
amazing.
Yeah.
So do you have another trip planned yet, or what are you thinking there?
Well, in our imaginations, we do. And we did a little bit of preparatory exploring before this trip started. What I have in mind is an astrologer's pilgrimage to ancient Greece and focusing on the philosophers and astronomers that helped to influence Hellenistic astrology. So, Alex, why don't you tell them about the two places we went to in scouting our mission?
Would those have been for Plato and Aristotle?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I didn't really understand their place in the spiritual majesty that this tour was offering. I mean, I'm still in a space where it's really hard to bring words to what exactly happened. However, I will say that when we went to Aristotle's school in northern Greece, which they kept open specifically for us, and Demetra got to teach there, which was quite beautiful to see. Afterward, we went out into the space, an open space that's, you know, been in the same state essentially along the river with all of a mountainous sort of cave next to the river and rocks that are thousands of years old. And we all gathered in this space where Aristotle taught Alexander the Great. And in that moment where we all sat in kind of quiet reverence, I was able to connect with a capacity for the divine intelligence of nature in a way that I've never understood before. Mm-hmm. And that opened my eyes to that connection, being present wherever you are on the planet in nature. But I needed to go to Greece, I suppose, to awaken that, appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know there's more to be said about that, but that was my biggest takeaway. And also, you know, in Athens, there is a museum for Plato that is just really well done.
Yeah.
It's alive and it's vibrant. Right. And the spaces themselves bring you back in time for a moment.
Right.
And they, you know, you're walking the path of great thinkers and you're in that moment in time with them, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this was Plato's Academy, which was one of the most famous philosophical school of antiquity. And there were some archaeological remains. It was a vast, beautiful area that we spent the better part of the day. My good friend, Ellen Skaves, from Greece, was our escort there and guided us into so many understandings of what happened. But Plato, you know, put forth one of the earliest myths of souls waiting to be born on the extremities of the cosmos and bringing the choice of their lifetimes to the fate sitting on the orbits of the planets and spinning and ratifying that. And so I'd like to bring forth the images that the early philosophers brought to the conceptual study of Hellenistic astrology.
In this idea of pilgrimage for astrologers to Greece, I can 100% say that you should go. You're watching this now. So. I hadn't been before, so I didn't know how it would turn out. But I feel sure that it's a life-changing experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Hellenistic astrology, how is you released this kind of momentous, you had this momentous moment that earlier this year and released Ancient Astrology, which you've been working on for years. And it's an amazing, beautiful production, this book, produced by Aaron Cheek and Rubido Press. How is the reception for that so far, Dimitri?
It's been amazing. I've been getting a tremendous amount of positive feedback. And I was terrified before I released it that I completely Virgoed out over the span of 600 pages. It's like, could anyone even begin to approach it? But many people have been saying they've been working through the exercises, they're understanding the concepts, it's deepening their skills in analyzing charts, modern charts for modern people. So I've been very gratified in that way.
Awesome.
And then in the fall, in September, we'll be doing a 5-day retreat on planetary condition, which will basically take that book and people will be able to understand it over the course of our 5-day teaching.
Awesome. And that's here in Bend, Oregon.
Yes.
And Alex and I will be there if you'd like to join all of us. It's going to be a really great retreat. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we'll actually have the textbook with us, and folks will be able to use the textbook and follow along. And if you've been reading the book and you'd like to get a more practical experience of how to work with the techniques, this workshop is definitely for you, right?
Certainly, yes. And then let me just mention that in some ways I feel that this is the third time I've written the same book. And in 1986, I published Astrology for Yourself, which is the beginning level. And by the way, Tony somehow discovered that it made Oprah's number one astrology book on her top 10 list. And so that was really thrilling news to see that. And then in 2008, I wrote Astrology and the Authentic Self, which is about synthesis, interpretation, integration of traditional and modern principles. And then these next two books with Ancient Astrology, Planetary Condition, and The Houses, which will be coming out by the end of the year. It's the third installment, and each one is progressively goes deeper into the material. So it's like reviewing the same concepts at ever deepening levels, like the spiraling of the moon cycle, going round and round, and each time giving insights and illuminations that come with having integrated the earlier material. So I hope that this is it. I pray.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thanks, Dimitra, and thanks, Alex, for joining me today to talk about the Greek mysteries and your tour to Greece and your newest book, Dimitra. And congratulations on the publication, and we're really glad to have you teaching here in Bend later this year.
And I want to publicly thank Alex for being like the best ever assistant, and Alex, I think, will be ready to start leading her own tours shortly as I pull back from this business, that Alex can carry it forward. She was awesome. And everyone, not only the participants, but all of our contact people in Greece, so were enamored by her kindness and her competency and her presence. So it was absolutely beautiful to have her be with us.
Thank you, Demetra. And as always, I'm eternally grateful for the opportunities that you give me and the, you know, addiction you've given me now to going to Greece.
Awesome. Well, thanks, you too. And we'll have you back another time and talk more. But thanks for joining me today. And thanks, folks, for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast for this episode. And we will see you again very soon. And until then, take good care. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.